Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Jesus. Just stay standing for a moment. Let's just posture our hearts before the Lord. I strongly sense that same theme that you were sharing on, Matt, of the Lord just reordering our hearts in this moment. And I feel like we just need I have this sense that the Lord is here to do business today. He's not here to play games. And I don't want us to miss that. And so I actually just want, before we sit down, for each of you in your own words before God to say, to surrender, to repent. Maybe if there's been some misalignment, if there's been some distraction, and come back to center, come back to Christ. Come back to Him. So I just pray that over your sons and daughters today, God. I thank you that your word is the plumb line that we can be aligned to. And Lord, I pray that as we open the word this morning, that you would bring us back to center. You would bring us back to order. You would bring us back to your heart in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that the enemy is crushed under our feet. We thank you that there is no other name that is exalted but Jesus. And so today, Lord, we exalt your name. We lift you on high. We look to no one else, Lord. We don't look to me. We don't look to ourselves, we don't look to anyone, but we look to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We welcome your leadership this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take a seat. And if you haven't said hi to the people around you, please do that. Please acquaint yourself with the row and the beautiful people that are around you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have been in a series of the Spirit-led life over the past number of weeks. We've been looking at the work of the Spirit in us and through us upward to God, Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus, Holy Spirit transforming us from the inside out. And now we're going to look at what does the work of the Spirit inward lead to an outward expression of. I just sound really loud. I don't know if it sounds really loud to you guys, but I sound really loud in my own ears, team. Sorry. Thank you. So basically where we're at in this series, we've been talking about what the Lord is doing, and now it's like, okay, well, how do we act in response? How does the Holy Spirit work in us? So I'm going to give it all away at the very beginning. The point is that the inward work of the Holy Spirit is supposed to flow to an outward work of obedience in our lives. That's where we're going to go. And I want you to know from the beginning that that's where we're going to go. Because we're going to talk about obedience from the lens of the old into the new. And what does the Lord actually, how does he actually work through us into today? So in 1 Samuel 15, there is this story of Saul and Samuel. And we won't read through it, but just for context, there is this invitation from Samuel, who is a prophet, speaking on behalf of God, and he invites Saul to go to this war to destroy the enemy. And Saul takes it upon himself to decide what to do with that. And he decides to save some, to sacrifice to God. And he chooses not to obey the voice of the Lord. And we read in verse 22 of chapter 15, this that Samuel says to Saul as a rebuke, as a command, he says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So we're looking at this idea that obedience is better than sacrifice. That to simply sacrifice, to simply do a ritual before God, if our heart isn't in the right place, is not what will delight God, is not what will please God. Now, this is where that thought originates from, but it's actually all throughout Scripture. And the team have will put up behind me a slide that will demonstrate this. All throughout, it's particularly in the Old Testament, we see that there is this theme of God's heart that He desires our obedience, He desires relationship with us over ritual, over sacrifice, over just abiding by a law. So we can see in Proverbs 21:3, This says that righteousness is more acceptable than sacrifice. In Psalm 51, this is a repentant prayer that David brings before the Lord after he has just gone and done something that he should not have done. He comes back before the Lord and he realizes what God wants is not that he would sacrifice something to make up for a wrong that he had done, but what God wants was a changed heart so that he wouldn't even do the wrong in the first place. So he comes before God and he says, repentance essentially is better than sacrifice. This is what you desire, my broken spirit and my repentant heart. In Jeremiah 7, 22 to 24, I might actually just read this one. Again, this is the Lord reminding the people through a prophet of his command. It says in verse 22, "For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices." I did not command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, "but this command I gave to them, obey my voice. And I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk in all the way that I command you that it may be well with you." And then in verse 24 is when we realize where it all goes wrong. "But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." How many of us can relate to that? That when we just go off in our own counsel, we go by what we think is best, that we actually end up further back than where we were supposed to be going. We end up going backwards instead of forwards when we go according to our own flesh, according to our own desires. This sets us up really well for Jesus and for the new covenant, because we can see that there is a command of God for obedience, but we are unable to fulfill it without him. So that brings us, well, also Hosea 6:6, he brings it back to that. He says that steadfast love is better than sacrifice. And you can read that one as well. But this brings us to Philippians 2:2. In the new covenant, obedience is still preferred over sacrifice, but we can only get to that point because Jesus himself became the sacrifice. And for him, obedience was to become the sacrifice. In Philippians 2:8, it says, talking about Jesus being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So notice what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to present the fact that there is this command for us to obey the laws of God. And that's what he desires, that we would obey his voice, that we would listen to his voice, that we would be obedient to him. Not that we would just do things, that we would just do the rituals, but that we would actually be obedient to his voice. But it is only fulfilled in the New Testament, in the new covenant that Jesus paved the way for. So sacrifice, these burnt offerings and sacrifice, this is ritualistic. This is behavior modification. And we love to say behavior modification, like it's a bit of a buzzword to say behavior modification in church. But ultimately it's a psychological tactic of positive and negative reinforcement. That's what that is. It's like, if you do wrong, you'll suffer. So therefore change your behavior so that you can get a better result. But that doesn't change the heart. That doesn't actually posture us to be in the right position to obey God. Sacrifice is religion, but obedience is transformation. It is breaking the mold and it's letting the Spirit lead you. Letting the Spirit work in you, lead you to generosity and hospitality and love and kindness and all of these things. So we're going to look at today, Ephesians chapter 2. And there is this one passage, which is actually just one very long sentence in the original Greek. And it's easy to pick and choose parts, but we're just going to look at the whole thing and see what God wants to say to us today. So Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading the ESV, you can follow along with me. It says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the key here is that salvation is not by work, as it says in verse 9, or verse 8 really, that it's not by work, but it is for work. His grace is what saves us, but as a result of his grace, we have a job to do. As a result of our salvation, then we need to respond in obedience to God. Now, I'm not a scholar, I'm not super familiar with the ancient Greek, but the little that I know, I looked into these words, the word works here in verse 9 and then in verse 10. The first word works is what is called genitive case, which means that it is a possession of the other noun. So this noun is possessed by the other noun. And then in verse 10, the word works is what is called dative case. So it is for. So it is comes from the other one. So a for works. I hope that makes sense. What I'm trying to say ultimately is that our salvation doesn't come from our work, but our work comes from our salvation. Our work comes as a response to the work that God has done in us and for us and through us. This is the goal of the book of Ephesians, is ultimately to teach us this, not to just wait for the eternal glory that we will get in heaven, not to just wait for that, but to actually be the present example of God to the world, to be the outward focused, to have that outward focus to the world around us, that the church is supposed to be an obedient to God, to be a light to the world around us. In the beginning, we were dead. What a nice way to start. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses because we were all born into sin. And so because we are born into sin, we can never fulfill all of God's commandments. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, maybe you've said this yourself, oh, I'm a good person. Yeah, like I try and do good, I'm a good person. And like, you know, you're believers in this room, you know that our good deeds don't earn us salvation, and being a good person is not enough. Actually, Galatians 3:10 says that if we rely on our works, if we do one thing wrong, we are under a curse. If we rely on the law, we're under a curse, because if we fail once, we've failed the whole thing. So it doesn't matter how good you are 99% of the time, just one, and you are cursed by the law. So this is not the way that we live anymore. But God, thank you, Jesus, in verse 4, because he is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, he met us in our death and made us alive together with Christ, so that we can do this work. We see in verse 2 here, it says that the Spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This spirit is a small s spirit. This is evil, the evil spirit of the world under the influence of the devil is at work in the sons of disobedience. If we are opposed to this, I think it's right for us to conclude that we now are sons and daughters of obedience, because we are under the Spirit, capital S. He is now at work in us. Romans 5:19 says, this sums it up really well. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, as in Adam and at the fall in the beginning, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, aka Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So we are now sons of obedience. We can now live from a fulfilled law and choose to obey God to outwork his already finished work. And I believe that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit's inward work in us is obedience to the commands of God. It fulfills. I'm sure you're all familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. Emily brought us a word on this last Sunday, 4 p.m. That was amazing. I encourage you to listen back to that. You could probably, if you grew up in church, you could probably list off the fruit of the Spirit off the top of your head. But I want us to actually look at that with a bit of a different lens today. In Galatians 5, and I know I'm jumping around a lot of scripture, so I encourage you to write these down and look at them later. But in Galatians 5, verse 22, we see the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just going to read that just to jog our memory again of what they are. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, as I was reading this, the Lord highlighted to me that the fruit of the Spirit, and this is a non-exhaustive list, as are the works of the flesh, just a couple of verses earlier, talks about a whole bunch of sins, non-exhaustive list, and same with the fruit of the Spirit. These are actually all individually, if you were to, you could break them down and see how every single one of these characteristics is a command of God that we would obey. I also have a slide for this. Thank you, April. So we can see the fruit. Each of these fruit are all found throughout Scripture as commands of God. We're commanded to love. Jesus in Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. Then Peter and Paul continue this in the letters saying to walk in love, to pursue love, to keep on loving. Joy, we're commanded to have joy, to rejoice always. We're commanded to live at peace with all people, to seek peace and to pursue peace. We're commanded to be patient. And the example that I've given is being patient for the coming of the Lord, as the Lord is patient with us, so we are to be patient with Him. We're commanded to be kind to one another, to be forgiving in Ephesians 4:32. The next one, thank you. We're commanded to do good, to live out goodness in Galatians 6:10. We're commanded to be faithful and to hold faithfulness through testing. We're commanded to be gentle, to walk out our calling with gentleness. We're commanded to have self-control. And I love the way James puts it, being quick to hear, slow to listen, and slow to become angry. There is this command not to control anything else, but to control ourselves. So what I'm trying to say is that all of these fruit of the Spirit are actually commands of God. But then just because they're individually commands of God, it doesn't mean that we are to pick and choose which ones that we want to exercise today. Or this is an individual command. I'm going to choose to love today and I'm going to choose to have peace tomorrow. So I'm not going to love, I'm just going to try and do peace. Like we're not actually, just because they're individual commandments, it doesn't mean we're allowed to just pick and choose of like, oh, I'm just going to focus on this. How many of us, I've been guilty of this. I'm like, yeah, all the fruit of the Spirit except self-control. Like, yeah, I get that. I can do all of those things except self-control. Like, oh, you know, if the temptation's there, I'm just gonna go for it. That is actually the wrong mentality to actually take this scripture. But rather, collectively, all of these are the fruit of an obedient life. A life surrendered to the Holy Spirit allows Him to work through us to obey the commands of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will only ever glorify Jesus. And if we listen to Him and we do what He says, then we will be in alignment with Him and we will fulfill Scripture. God cannot lie and He cannot deny Himself. So He's not giving us a command that He hasn't actually empowered us to fulfill. You know, I was actually talking about this with a friend just yesterday, and this is the best way for me to understand that. And I actually asked this team for this water so I could drink it, but also so I could explain this to you. If the law is here, if the law is this way full, this far full, then we can try and fill up to here, but the Spirit is here. I hope this is going to make sense. The Spirit is here, it's already full to there. So the law comes under the Spirit, because the Spirit will always fulfill the law. So we're not saying, oh, we just throw out the law, we don't need to abide by any of that, but the Spirit's work in us, it says in verse 18 of chapter 5, It says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We're actually above the law because the Spirit in us is already going to fulfill that because Jesus is the perfect example of the fulfilled law. It says at the end of that list, against such things, there is no law. There's no law against love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. There is no law against these things because they are going to fulfill the law because they are the fruit of the Spirit. I was reminded of how Jesus fulfills the law. In Matthew 12, I won't read it, but just to point us back to this, in Matthew 12, there is this story that happens where Jesus is confronted about breaking the Sabbath. And he's breaking the Sabbath because he's chosen to take some grain and eat it when he was hungry, he and his disciples. And the Pharisees come and say, "What are you doing? You've broken the law. You've broken this command of God." But Jesus comes back and he says, no, and he actually quotes Hosea 6:6, which is interesting. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." God is saying, "I desire a relationship with you. I desire closeness with you, not that you would just try and abide by all of these things. And if you had known this, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus is Lord over these laws and these regulations and these rituals. And so living as he lived is those things are fulfilled and overflow in us. And if we're letting the Spirit, if we're truly letting the Spirit lead us, we will fulfill these things. Jesus didn't submit to the law, but he actually rose above it and he brought the law up to speed with the new covenant. He actually makes it harder in some ways, but he fulfills it. And so if we have the revelation of the Spirit in us from the inside out, the inward work of the Spirit flowing outward, then we don't need the guardian of the law as it talks about in Galatians 3, I believe. We don't need the guardian of the law anymore because the Spirit fulfills in us and gives us freedom. The law is not for the righteous. It's actually for sinners. And 1 Timothy 1 talks about this. It says the law is good if we use it lawfully, but the law is actually not for the righteous, but it's for the ungodly, it's for the sinners. I'm going to use a road traffic examples because I feel like that's very relatable for Christians. We're like, "Oh yeah, I won't steal, but I might drive through a red light." So let's go there. You know when you see the traffic cameras and you're like, you get a little bit scared even if you haven't done the wrong thing? I don't know if anyone else, or you see like the police radar gun and you're like, "Oh, am I going 61 in a 60 zone?" Is anyone else related or is it just me? Like you freak out a little bit even though you're not doing the wrong thing. Or maybe there's a random breath test, you pull up and you haven't had anything to drink for weeks, months, and you're like, "Oh no, what if something comes up?" And there's this almost like fear of the law, but you know why these things are here? They're not to... not to point out how good you've done. Like who pulls up to one of those and you know, it comes up zero and the police goes, "Congratulations, well done, gold star." Like the purpose of that is not to exalt how good we are. But the purpose of the law, the purpose of the enactment of the law is to catch those that are in the wrong, right? So the rules, the laws are not to show off how good we are. That's why our works don't lead to salvation because it's not about how good we are. So these things are not to point out how good we are, but they're actually, it's in place to bring into order anything that is disordered. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, it says that the world was formless and void. And what that means is not that there was absolutely nothing, but that there was absolute chaos. And when God says, "Let there be light," he enters order into the world. And I'm just totally jumping around in my notes. I'm like, I don't even know where I am anymore. But anyway, the world that we live in needs order and it needs law and it needs rules and it needs structure because we're in this realm. And as much as God is sovereign, he is not the ruler of this world. It says that the world is under the sway of the evil one, the prince of the power of the air. So rules, laws, regulations are there to keep people in order with that. But if the person of order, the very person of order, the Holy Spirit, who was with God at the beginning, lives inside of us, then we don't come under that, but we naturally overflow that. We are naturally going to obey. We are naturally going to live a life that is going to glorify Jesus. So since we've been set free from sin, we don't need the works that earn our salvation, but we do the work that aligns with our true identity now. The sin, sacrifice was attached to sin in the Old Testament. So sacrifice was a response to sin. But in the new, sacrifice is not attached to God's pleasure. God isn't like, oh, I just love burnt offerings. I just really want that. No, that, there's not an attachment there. The attachment of God's pleasure is to our faith. And so faith is what pleases God, not works, not sacrifice. And I think that if we think that our sacrifice and that our works are what is going to please God, I think we've missed the point. It says in that passage that we read in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. We are God's finished work. We are God's handiwork. We are his beautiful creation. We are his poetry, created in Christ Jesus to present the beauty of God for good works. God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. We are his, we've been created now with a new nature, and that new nature is peace. That new nature is generosity. That new nature is hospitality. That new nature is seeing the person on their own. It's seeing the person, the least of these, on the street and loving them. It is seeing the way that Jesus sees. That is our new nature. So if we truly let the Holy Spirit lead, if we're truly walking in step with him and listening to his voice, then we're going to overflow generosity. We're going to overflow looking out for people. The amount of times in the natural, I wouldn't have done something, but the Holy Spirit in me prompts me, hey, I want you to go talk to that person. Hey, I want you to go be generous. I want you to do this. It fulfills the law. It fulfills the kindness of God, the love of God, the peace of God when we actually are in tune with the Holy Spirit, because there is no law against these things. And we connect with the Holy Spirit. We can obey him and we can walk in submission to him only when we know his voice. John 10 talks about his sheep knowing his voice. It says in verse 4 that he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so if we want to walk in step with the Spirit, if we want to live an obedient life to the commands of God, we need to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we can hear his voice and we can learn his voice by proximity to him, by closeness to Jesus. This is why we have spiritual disciplines. This is why we have rituals. This is why we have communion. Praise God for things like that. Not to exalt the ritual, but to exalt the one that it points to, so that we can have proximity to Jesus, so we can be reminded to come back to him, to stay near to him. We can hear his voice through repetition. You know, maybe if you heard my voice for the first time, you wouldn't know who that was. But once you've heard it a few times, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that voice. Actually, I was in Woolies yesterday and I was just lining up and I was like, oh, I know that voice. It was Pastor JJ. He lives around the corner from me. And he was there buying some meat for a barbecue. And I was like, oh, I know that voice because I've heard it before, because of repetition. So the more you hear a voice, the more you can actually attune yourself to it and also stepping out in response and obedience to it, then you'll be able to learn, okay, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The next one is by counsel or by confirmation. It says that by the word of multiple witnesses, a word will be established. So if I feel like, oh, God's telling me this, Lauren, like, do you feel like this is true of God? And I have wise counsel in my life that can say, yes, this is of God, or maybe you should go back and continue to pray about that, you know? And lastly, most importantly, it's by the word of God. This is how we learn his voice, that we learn his nature. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of the Spirit. So does what God is speaking to me, does it align with these things? And we have to ask ourselves that question, is this my own bias? Is this my own desires? Or is this the work of the Spirit in me? But we need to attune ourselves to His voice so that we can obey it. Yeah, as I said, there's been moments where the Spirit has led me to do something which is like beyond my natural. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I just want to like be kind to this person. Maybe I'll like give him $20 or whatever. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, $200. And you're like, whoa, okay, that's more generous than me. That's the nature of the Spirit. I don't think He's going to be doing the opposite. You know, sometimes the Spirit might tell you to rest or to step back and those kind of things, and that's good. But the Spirit is always going to be more aligned with God than us. Like even the other day, I'll just share a quick story. I was in Spotlight buying some things like a, I was going to say like an old lady that, no, shouldn't say that. Young people can shop at Spotlight. And the lady serving me was, she had some bands on her wrists. Her wrists were strapped up. And I just asked her like, what happened to your wrists? Like, yeah, what's going on? And she listed off about like 7 things that were wrong. It was like arthritis and da-da-da-da. And she was going to have surgery and she was in so much pain and whatever. And just, I was like, great, well, can I pray for you? I believe Jesus can heal you. She was so open, prayed for her. She was super touched. And I was like, yay, thanks God. That was a cool opportunity. And then I'm just walking out and I was like, oh yeah, I've done my good deed for the day. And I'm like, yeah, pray for someone. Yeah, cool. And then I saw a lady in a moon boot and I was like, I've done my one, haven't I, Lord? And He's like, if it's about ticking a box, then I don't think you've done your job. If it's about like, oh, cool, I've done my good deed. But if it's about listening to the Spirit, then we do whatever the Spirit tells us to do. So Spirit was like, all right, I need you to talk to this lady too. And I was like, cool. And I've just come out of a moon boot so I could relate with her too. And she was actually a Christian. And it was just beautiful to build her faith in that moment, to pray with her and to remind her that God sees her. And that was only by obedience to the Spirit that second moment could happen, and I would have missed out on the opportunity of God wanting to bless someone else if I just went, oh, I've done good, full stop. But actually the Spirit wants to do abundantly more. And it's not just evangelism. I know I gave evangelistic examples. It's not just that. Sometimes it's withholding words and holding your tongue when you just want to say something and you know it's going to be dishonoring and the Spirit convicts you and He says, no. That's self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. As we're obedient to Him, we see the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us. My favorite thing at the moment is Holy Spirit decision-making. I don't know about you guys, but I am terrible at making decisions, and you can get decision fatigue. You're like, I've already decided what I'm going to wear today and what I'm going to eat for breakfast. I don't want to decide something else. Like, that's enough for one day. But the Holy Spirit makes the best decisions, and inviting Him in, hey, should I do this or that? And when you actually are obedient to Him, oh, things just, crazy stuff happens. Like, there is always so much more. It's not just the being good, bare minimum, but I always find blessings in obedience to God. So I say this to encourage you, listen to the voice of the Spirit, not by just trying to please God, but knowing that hearing Him and letting His work flow through you will bless the people around you. Thank you, Jesus. So the team can join me as we begin to wrap up. So we talked about how the world needs rules because it doesn't have God. We have the person of order living within us. We have the very one that brings peace, that is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace, living within us. But when we walk according to the world, even by rules and by regulations, it's against our new creation nature. It's unnatural for us to walk in anything other than our new nature. We are made for work. We are made for good work. But now God redeems work from a post-fall sinful work and self-justification to work by partnership with our divine nature, restoring creation order. You can stand to your feet as I ask you these questions. Have you gotten in the way of your natural life in Christ? Do you need to get out of the way to let go of control of something else? To let go of performing? To let go of a practice that is just so other people can see my work before God? Is there something that I need to let go of? so that I can obey Christ, so that I can let the Spirit work in me and through me. I need you to ask the Lord in this moment. And also want you to consider what has been a blockage for me to hearing God's voice and to obeying His voice. Is there something that has gotten in the way? Have I tried to fulfill and finish in the flesh what was begun in the Spirit? Have I tried to do something to please God that He hasn't asked me to do? And that's the thing about Saul in 1 Samuel 15 is that he wasn't a priest. He wasn't supposed to sacrifice. He was a king. And what he thought would please God was actually just to get the approval of man. But all he wants is for us to hear his voice and to obey. And we don't need to be afraid. If we listen and obey, we will be in line with what he asks us to do. I want to read Titus 3 over us. And then we're just going to go into a time of worship as a team lead us. And let the Lord do the work that He wants to do. Let Him realign. Let Him bring back into order. Let Him overflow in us. Maybe there's going to be something the Lord's going to ask you to do in obedience in response to Him. It says in this pastoral letter to Titus, chapter 3, remind them, you people, remind them, I'm being obedient to this word to remind you, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and I want to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Be obedient. Let the renewal and the regeneration of the Spirit have His work in you so that you can devote yourself to good works. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.